we say good morning and welcome into Linda Kernan. Linda, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Welcome
Mike.
To the show. Great to have you today. We talked briefly when you were up here last time with the new proposed county budget. There's a lot of cuts, and a lot of cuts to county employees. We're looking at as many as 70 employees being laid off if this new budget, if nothing changes between now and the time the budget goes into effect, correct?
Correct.
Okay, if I could get you to move just a tad closer there. So I guess my first question is this. The biggest stumbling block right now is the fact that that nobody was willing to make any concessions as far as the unions go, right, with the county executive. Is that the reason for the cuts that we're seeing right now, or is it that, at the very least, the story that you're getting?
That's the story I'm getting, and that's the story that's out there. And why I'm here is I wanted to straighten the record out.
Okay. Well, let's you know what? I'll let you get right to that. Go ahead and straighten the record out as you see it.
Okay, a little background mm-hmm. to this whole process. The union had initiated negotiations on January 6th of this year.
Okay.
It wasn't until August that the county had called us and said, we're ready to go to negotiations, set up two dates for September 14th and 27th. The day before we went to the first session, Tony Pacenti was in the papers telling the public that they were going to demand a freeze or there were going to be layoffs. Now, and from our perspective, that's negotiating in the public before we even set into the door.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, we go into negotiations with proposals, fully intending to go to negotiations as we should, and we were met with a take-it-or-leave-it proposal. They said, you either take the freeze or there's going to be layoffs, and that was the only option we had. Our position is, had he said, look, we've got budgetary concerns. We're expecting these many people to retire. We have these many vacancies we're looking to eliminate. We've got a gap. Could you work with us?
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't be on the show today if that had been the case.
Okay,
we would have worked it out.
That was never proposed to you.
No, never proposed to us. In an earlier article that Tony was in, he had spoken about the bad economy in Oneida County, and the reason for that was the high unemployment rate.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's proposing to do is lay off more people to add to the unemployment rate when we already have Rite Aid and Orion laying hundreds of people off. That would add to the welfare rolls, which right now the lines go around the corner at 5 a.m. There will be situations where people won't be seen on the day that they arrive to apply for their services because the people left to do the work are going to have 2.5 times more work to do in the same amount of time, in the same amount of hours per day. And it's just not possible. As a result of that, if these workers cannot get that work done as prescribed by New York State and federal law,
mm-hmm.
they come in and they sanction or fine the county for not being able to keep up with the work. And that could be anywhere from thousands to hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars. And so my question is, what are you saving?
So laying off employees may not be cost effective in the long run.
We
may not be saving money.
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. A lot of these people are 100% funded by the governmental grants. So what are you saving? We thought initially when that was a take it or leave it situation, we thought it was a threat,
mm-hmm.
is what it was. So the reason that people are angry, the employees are angry, is because they've been watching what is perceived to be out of control spending. They had a department head receive a $20,000 increase because he's the lowest paid in the state. The people here, mm-hmm. they are the lowest paid in the state as well. A department director's salary was increased so they could attract more candidates. A director was upgraded and received an $8,000 annual increase before he even stepped in the door. His deputy received a $4,000 increase. They created a position for work that was formerly done by clericals to the tune of $44,000 a year. Millions were spent on Griffiths Air Force Base that was lost, and leases are out there for rentals owned by members of the board and people associated with them. These people see what goes on, and then you give them a take it or leave it like this, and it's like, where is this coming from? They see all this spending, all this money going out the door. And now they feel like they're the ones that have to make up for it.
They are. In your eyes, there is excess spending, and there's much better places to make cuts than with county employees' positions.
I think they should set the example.
Let's bring Tim in for just a minute, and we'll see if we can't get to some sort of solution here. So, Tim, come on in, sit down for just a moment. And Tim was here good and early this morning. I think, actually, it was almost like a Grateful Dead concert. Tim camped outside the building. It was
Good morning, Mike.
So what does the chief shop steward do?
Well, we're the eyes and ears for the...
Chief shop steward.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're the eyes and ears for the union. If we see something going on that's a violation of the contract, we let them know. We also are the first line if employees feel that they have been put in a situation where the contract's being violated. They come to us, we record the facts, and get them to the union to defend them.
Okay, so tell me your story today.
Well, employees of the county are very concerned about the county residents and taxpayers. We're taxpayers, too. Perhaps you recall an article back in August in the OD that we are the lowest paid public employees in New York State in the highest taxed county in New York State. Clearly, the money isn't going to us. Mm-hmm. We have asked the county to negotiate with us. They won't. They only make demands. We'd like to know where the money's going. It's certainly not coming to our pockets. This isn't where they're going to save. We've asked them to look at contracts, and when we refer to contracts, we don't mean things like the zoo and the library. We mean things like people who have retired. And they're coming back, double-dipping. They're collecting their pension and they're collecting paychecks from the county at the same time. This opportunity is afforded very few county employees, a select few. 3 weeks before, the employees are informed by the county that we're going to have a wage freeze, take it or leave it. An employee gets an 8-grade upgrade. What that means is they jumped in job level a great amount. If you go from like an examiner in Medicaid or food stamps or temporary assistance to senior, you've only moved 2 grades. 8-grade upgrade is a huge upgrade to throw at somebody secretively and then turn around and ask everybody else to take a wage freeze. Mm-hmm. This isn't sitting well with us, and we're concerned about the citizens of Oneida County and the taxpayers of Oneida County. Where is the money going? Why is all the focus on the lowest paid public employees in New York State when we're in the highest tax? Where's the money going? We're not getting answers. We look at the budget. You can't figure out where it's going because these contracts are proprietary. You can't look at them. You have to foil them. Oh, good. In 3 months after everybody's laid off, we might know where all this money's going. But we want to try to save those jobs because the people need these workers. 35 in social services alone are going to be sent out the door. When employees are facing caseloads that are unmanageable now, we're going to be expected to do even more with even less workers. It's creating an impossible situation, and it's going to have a major impact on the taxpayers who are facing very tough economic times and are turning to us for things like food and medical care. We're just not going to be able to service them the way that we used to. We have departments that have layoffs that bring money in. Why are you laying off people that bring money in, like in the child support unit? One of the workers in Medicaid slated to be laid off is the only worker that collects money coming in for what we call the pay-in program, the excess income spend-down program. And it brings money in, but they're getting laid off. This doesn't make sense. It really doesn't.
So then what measures are being taken to try to adapt to having 35 fewer employees? Because the department has to survive. You can't close the department down. And if the layoffs are imminent, and are the layoffs imminent, first of all?
No.
Okay.
No, so, we haven't to the last.
But are there plans in motion, you know, just if this does happen, you know, how does the department continue to take care of its duties, the things that it needs to take care of?
We have too many cases to handle. It takes us longer to get to a case. So people who are facing new unemployment coming to us, we'll get to them. But the line is going to be huge, and we won't get to them right away. What's going to happen to them in between?
How's this going to affect the, I hate to say the end consumer, but the people that you serve? What are they going to have to wait longer for? Just kind of detail that for me.
Many of the people who are laid off, well, they're going to be filing for unemployment insurance. They won't be coming to our temporary assistance department, but they will be looking at COBRA continuations where the cost of continuing their health insurance is just not affordable. So they'll be turning to some of the publicly funded health insurance programs. They'll be finding that, well, unemployment insurance benefits don't go as far in the grocery store. They'll be looking to us to help with their food. They'll be finding that, wow, my income went down and my heating costs went up. How am I going to pay the heat bills? Our heat applications will increase. And it will take more time since there will be more applications and fewer people to handle them.
Okay. Tim Ditfield, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The chief shop steward. Let's bring Pat Allen in for just a moment if we can. Pat, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you.
You know, one of the things I'd like to include in the radio station budget this year is maybe another microphone or two. Pat, you work in the Medicaid department, correct?
Yes.
And you are the shop steward there.
Yes, I am also on the negotiating committee.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like to say that, first of all, one of our concerns is, you know, Mr. Pacenti has wanted to raise telephone fees. NIMO wants to raise their fees. Of course, there's raised DMV fees. Our health insurance fees are going to go up. With all these fees and taxes going up, mm-hmm. our wage freeze is not a wage freeze. It's a wage reduction. And I would like to know if anybody out here could live the same next year as this with mm-hmm. less money in their pockets. I mean, we have to... We're taxpayers, we're families, and we're concerned about our families. And a couple years ago, Mr. Pacenti had wanted to make an agreement with the Oneida Nation for, I don't know, what was it, millions of dollars. And the legislators decided they didn't want the money. So I hope they're kicking themselves now, because all that money could have been in their coffers and they could have avoided this big deficit that mm-hmm. they claim they have.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it has been found out that all our foster care that used to be with county workers, all that has been contracted out, along with the insurance for these
children.
What
is that? I'm sorry. Could you please?
Foster care.
Okay.
All right. And historically known that when you contract out services, instead of using county employees, in the long run, it's going to end up costing you more money. Because in the government, you have more control over what goes on. And a lot of these workers that I've talked to who used to be foster care workers in the county, and a lot of the new workers are not trained properly. They don't know the proper procedures.
Why was that contracted out? I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Okay.
I honestly don't. And they've had to hire the contracted out. Have had to hire 11 people to replace what 8 county employees did. And they're not held to the same standards as county employees because mm-hmm. they are an independent contractor. And this could eventually end up putting some of our children in danger. So that's, you know, another one of our concerns. And if you lay off more people, then some of these could be people that are going to be dealing with our children and with our elderly and with our indigent. And these are the people that are going to suffer. There's a lot of homebound people that we, you know, we go mm-hmm. and visit them at their home. And if we don't have the workers to take care of them, who is?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know when the legislators can discuss maybe getting rid of some of them. Most counties have 15 to 19 legislators. We have 29. They also get health insurance, which is supposed to be only for full-time county employees. Well, they're part-time employees. They get county cars. They get a lot of their expenses covered, and this is where a lot of the money is going to. If they cut down on the legislators, that would cut down on some of those expenses and cut some of the fat out of the budget.
So a county legislator makes probably under $10,000, I'm thinking maybe $8,000
right.
a year, somewhere in that ballpark. How many would you like to get rid of?
Well, you figure
how many can we run the county with?
I would say 19. If you got rid of 10 of them, you're talking $80,000 plus their health insurance costs.
Mm-hmm.
And we would also like to know what high management positions are subject to layoff. I mean, that's where the bigger dollars are. We have somebody subject to a layoff that's a clerk for 2 years, mm-hmm. making $20,000. How hard is that going to impact the budget?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's the lowest paid that they're eyeballing to get rid of. That's not where the fat is. They need to look at the higher up, some of the management positions. Why does somebody in a director's position need three secretaries?
Mm-hmm.
Cut it down to one or two. It's, excuse me. And some of the county employees we have found out that are in management positions are given county cars at the taxpayers' expenses. And they're the people that are normally in the field that go and take care of the children and the homebound and the indigent. They're the ones who don't do these jobs. The ones who do these jobs usually have to use their own personal vehicle, which means they have to put in their own gas. They have to pay for their own health and, you know, car insurance, repairs. And, of course, they don't get reimbursed. They might get mileage back at, like, what, 8, 10 cents a mile?
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, that's not going to cover all their fees. But yet, these people in management positions get cars for what? Their own personal use? The taxpayers are paying for this. And usually when what we call a field worker goes into the field, if they are allowed a county car, half the time it's...
The wage freeze that's been proposed, is it a wage freeze or is it a wage postponement? Is it a wage freeze for 1 year and then you get the wage hike the following year? How does that work? Are you foregoing a wage hike forever or are you just kind of postponing it?
Well... it's kind of hard to, I mean, and we know it would be a wage, I call it a wage reduction for the 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but we haven't exactly set what would happen after that.
Okay.
That's part of the negotiating process that we're working on, so we can't really go into too much detail about it.
All right, very good. Pat Allen, thank you very much. Welcome in our final guest, Jennifer Eaton. Jennifer's been pacing around like a caged tiger out there looking for an escape route. You're not nervous, are you, this morning?
No, I don't get nervous.
All right, good. Jennifer, you are with Medicaid Department as well?
Yes.
And give me your story this morning.
Well, I'm here as a voice for the people who are the workers.
Okay.
The people who are taking care of the general public, because we are the people who are the general public. We have so many people who work for the county who are actually eligible for the services that we give.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm here to say that we as the workers, as part of the general public, we understand the tax increases, because we have those as well.
Sure.
Not only are we taxpayers ourselves, we are single parents. We are parents who have an intact household who maybe one of us is unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
We are parents who have handicapped children at home. We are parents who have to choose sometimes whether we're going to pay a bill or feed our children.
Mm-hmm.
And that, with each of the decisions that we've been given, forced to make, either the wage reduction or the layoff, neither of those would be something that any of us would want. First of all, if you do a wage reduction, our insurance doesn't go down. We have to pay our insurance. Food is rising. Gas prices are rising. So not only if you do a wage reduction, are you forcing us to make more decisions about whether we're going to feed our children or pay our bills. If you give us a layoff, then we're in your lines.
Sure.
We're going to be the ones that need the services. Not only that, but the people who are left behind to do the work. We have families that we care for, just like everybody else. We pay taxes, as I've said, just like everybody else. So when we go to work, we're going to have 3-4 times more work to do with less people to do it. That causes frustration. It causes illness, because everybody knows stress causes illness. Social services works pretty well as a team. And if either of these things happen, you're going to see morale go down greatly. And we're not going to be able to service the general public like we can right now.
The misconception is that we're stonewalling the county. And we're not. Right now we're in conversations with the county. We're in discussions. And as soon as we have something to bring back to the membership, there'll be a vote. The union can't unilaterally make a decision for these people. It's their livelihood. It's their lives. And they have to make that decision. What I suggest is what a lot of municipalities have. If the taxpayers are angry, get angry enough to create watchdog groups. Mm-hmm. Have a group of people, just nonprofit group that can keep an eye on every single dime that goes out of that county. It's long, long overdue.
Thank you for being here today.